with each film, you really have to kind of start from scratch in a way. You want to create an entirely different sound world because these movies are totally different. You know, Nosferatu is easily one of my personal favorites because it's this really sort of rustic and kind of really old school, lo-fi. You know, there's not a lot of special effects. There's not a lot going on. It's just a few characters, and these scenes are really dark and gloomy and scary. And usually you think about Halloween for something like this. For those who haven't been in Nightbird Books before, you know, it's a quite small space, but it's also very unique in how it's designed. You have this sort of like inner chamber, for lack of a better word, and then you have this outer area. And so what's really interesting about our setup for this show is that when people come, they'll be sitting near the screen. You know, it's going to be a very closed, very sort of small space. But the musicians will be spaced all throughout Nightbird Books, right? So the sound is going to be happening all around you. We'll have amplifiers here and there. I mean, the way you could think of it is imagine before surround sound technology existed, if a bunch of musicians tried to create the surround sound experience. So it's like it is sort of low-tech surround sound, but that's sort of the charm, I guess you could say.
You've changed up the instrumentation a little bit. So I'm wondering why, what was the thought process that went behind deciding the instrumentation that would be with Nosferatu?
Yeah, so I think here we wanted it to sound a lot less sci-fi, you know, a lot less electronic, because that was the great appeal of Metropolis, was this kind of like synthetic sound, you know, like this kind of synthetic dehumanized world. This is a really human movie. I mean, human drama that takes place. And for those who haven't seen it, I mean, it's a really compelling story. So we wanted this one to feel really natural, for lack of a better word. So we're trying to make it feel a little bit more acoustic, for lack of a better word. Now, there's definitely electronics. There's definitely, you know, people who saw the theremin last time who got super excited about that. It will be there. You know, all this stuff's going to be there. But we wanted to make it feel a little bit more kind of folky in a way. So like with the accordion, you know, we're trying to really create this kind of sinister.
After all, the story of Nosferatu is a folk story.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, he's going through these backwoods of Transylvania to find this creepy castle, and there's all these villagers, and there's all these, like, wolves. I mean, it's really folky and rustic, and that's what's cool about it.
Since I'm playing the theremin, that's going to be more of an electronic sound. It's going to bring more of a synthetic sound to it. But with the accordion and the zither, it's more acoustic, so it's going to be rustic. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting setup the way it sounds.
Now, have you played accordion before?
A little bit, not a whole lot.
In Nosferatu, there's not a lot of big scenes. So this time we like kind of assigned ourselves characters. So luckily, Ryan and I have a duo on doing Nosferatu's kind of theme. So I think that's really cool with the keyboards and synths that we have. We can create more of that rustic sound when he shows up, rather than something more funky and jivey.
The more acoustic instruments are kind of the melody parts. They're kind of playing a lot more than the electronic stuff, since before I was just kind of finding a melody in Metropolis and playing it over and over again. It's robotic, but this one, you can come up with a lot more ideas for certain parts. And we have themes, but I think it's going to be pretty cool playing three different instruments and figuring out which one sounds good for what.
The most compelling reason you should come out and watch it is because it is really exciting. It's old. It's like the 1920s. I mean, there's a lot of weird scene cuts. A lot of it's really low tech. You know, there's a lot of overacting according to our standards today. But when you watch it, I mean, it definitely is creepy. It definitely has horror, and it definitely is unforgettable in terms of like how just sinister it is. It's one of my favorite films.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a couple times. I would just love to pick your brain a little more about specifically what exactly makes this one of your favorite films.
I think what makes this one of my favorite films is that when you watch it, you got all these simple components, and yet this is truly a situation where the sum is greater than the parts. It's like there are these shots where it's just like the carriage going through, and you see these weird hyena looking things, or when they go to the tavern and, you know, Harker mentions that he's going to go see Nosferatu, and all the villagers have this really overacting when their eyes get all big and they're like, you know, it's so cheesy, and yet it's just so incredibly effective. It's like the cheese is what makes it scary. I mean, it is scary, especially like if you've never seen it, you're going to enter the space that films today cannot capture. You know, it's because ultimately, you know, I've come to it. This film really preys upon your imagination. It's not literal. There's no CGI. There's no violence. There's no dialogue even. What makes it scary is your own imagination as you fill in the blanks in this film. It becomes, I think, a unique film for every person who watches it. It's like we're not all going to have the same experience with this movie. I think my experience with it, and every time I see it, that's the point. I'm in a different place in my life. And I'm just like, oh, like I interpret the film totally differently this time. And it's really, it's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
Well, thanks so much. I'm excited about this new new Nosferatu scoring here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.